This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's get ourselves ready for what's to come in the coming years. I'll explain in a moment. Liz Cullen is here to expose more fraud in Minnesota. What is happening in Iran? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, let's chat. And this is not at all, I need to get ahead of this right now. This is not at all supposed to depress you or bring you down at all, at all. This is a chat that we're going to have that I have with myself this weekend, you should know. It was Friday, Saturday, I forget what it was. And I was sitting around, I had some time, and I just started processing things. Things like all the fraud that's currently being exposed in places like Minnesota. We'll get to Liz Cullen and a few things like that. We'll get to that. But I was kind of processing things in my mind. And we're starting to hear rumors, get flat-out stories about fraud in California, fraud in Washington, New Jersey, this and that. So let me explain something. Let me, in fact, use this analogy. Let's say, have you ever known anyone? I'm very sad to say you probably do or have known someone. I certainly have, who got diagnosed with cancer. Maybe even fairly late stage cancer, stage 3, stage 4. I've gone through this in my own life. I'm sure you probably have as well. Sadly, it's one of those terrible things that affects everybody. But if you've ever known anyone, and I have, that gets diagnosed with it, there's a lot that they go through, of course, mentally, physically. But one of the things that seems to hit home time after time after time is, oh my gosh, I'm glad I know now. Now I can try to do something about it, try to treat it. I'm glad I know now. But man alive, to be at this stage, this cancer has been growing inside of me for a long time. And I had no idea. I'm glad I know now. I wished I'd known then, but I'm glad I know now. So let me talk to you, Patriot. In the United States of America, for a variety of reasons, which we're about to go into, we are starting, the general public is starting to realize that we have cancer. The fraud, the theft from the American taxpayer, we're just scratching the surface. Minnesota is all the rage right now because it appears to be ground zero. But I'm here to tell you that is only our first little crack in the window so we can just peek inside. And we're mortified by what we see. Oh my gosh, there's cancer in here. Look at the fraud. Look, but it's just a crack right now. As the Trump administration, to their credit, they're doing this. As the Trump administration continues on, and that crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it has a chance, unless you are mentally ready for it, to dishearten you. When they start digging into California, it's going to make Minnesota look like a convent. That's what it's going to do. And this is not just California and Minnesota. For years, for decades, the cancer has been metastasizing inside of the body of the United States of America. As the Democrat Party, with some help from Republicans, of course, but as the Democrat Party has turned into the evil, demonic Communist Party, as they have brought in not just the mass importation of foreigners, but as they have chosen as their voting base every miscreant and malcontented group in the United States of America, what has happened is the Democrat Party has become by far, by a mile, the largest organized crime group in the history of the world. A group where its politicians, its power brokers, its funders work hand in hand with the base, with the people they bring in, and their entire purpose in life is to steal from you. Their entire purpose in life is to access the treasury, whether it be a city treasury or a county treasury or a state treasury or the United States treasury. Their entire purpose in life is to access it and steal from you. What we are seeing in Minnesota is bad, and you're already seeing people, and maybe you felt this way yourself, say things like, I'm not paying taxes anymore. By the way, please pay your taxes. Don't go to prison for all this. Anyway, but you're already seeing that sentiment, and it's an understandable sentiment. Why am I paying taxes? I'm paying for this fraud, and I'm paying for that fraud. You're already seeing it. You're already mad. I'm already mad, and we have every right to be. I'm not telling you don't get mad, but what I'm telling you is, this is the first doctor's appointment. What we're having, what we're going through right now is the first doctor's appointment. This is the doctor's appointment. We don't even have, you know, actual results yet for anything. What we have is some blood work that looks a little wonky, where the doctor calls us in and says, hey, I've been looking at that blood you just gave. There are a couple levels that are off. They're a little bit concerning. We've got to go in for some more tests. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're going to go in for more tests, and the results are going to be very, very, very bad. They're going to be disheartening, and you need to prepare yourself for it. And remember, always remind yourself, as this stuff gets exposed more, day after day after day after day, remind yourself that you have to find the cancer first. This is part of it. I don't want to live in a country where we have cancer in every part of our body. Neither do you. That's the last thing in the world I want. I'm not telling you to be happy about it, but I am telling you this discovery process we're going through now is just the beginning. It will get worse, but this discovery process is necessary. And the reason I say it's going to get worse is it's at the highest levels. It'd be one thing if this was some street gang in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, figured out a way to do a little daycare fraud. This is a sitting member of Congress.
We are going to show all of them the door out. And we are going to make sure that these people pay for what they have done to us.
It's not just a couple street thugs. It's people in high places. And maybe you've been watching for the last week or so, give or take a couple days, what's been happening, the demonstrations going on in places like Minneapolis. Maybe you've been watching this stuff and wondering why.
So, Laura, right now we are in downtown Minneapolis. We've been following this protest outside of a hotel where these protesters believe federal agents may be staying. And just in the last few seconds, it appears they're trying to get actually inside this hotel.
People need to show up with guns to finish you guys. It's time for an armed resistance against the United States of America. You murderers! You shot a woman in a wheelchair. We need to come back with weapons. Go to the gun store, get a gun, learn how to use it, and face you guys man to man.
Maybe you're wondering why. Well, how do criminal organizations respond when they are under threat? How do they respond? This is how they respond. This cancer, this fraud, the looting of the taxpayer has been going on for so long that we now have an entrenched criminal enterprise, much of it in the government itself, and they're not going to take kindly to being exposed any more than the local mafia boss is going to take kindly to his face being plastered on the front page of the newspaper. Why do you think Democrat politicians are running to the camera to defend a communist activist who tried to run over an ICE agent on camera?
This 37-year-old woman drops her kid off at school, not involved in protest activity or anything, Seems to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, Renee Nicole Good, as you hear her say, she's not mad. She's sitting in her car, peacefully waving cars to get by. This agent, as you see, gets out of his car, automatically starts running towards her, trying to open her door. She feels scared. She tries to turn the wheel away. And then you see the other officer, who can clearly see the car is moving, move towards the front of the car, which, if they are saying that he has 10 years on service and is trained, he should know that you shouldn't be trying to get in front of a moving car.
Does your rhetoric need to change?
Yeah, I said this was a federal agent recklessly using power that ended up in somebody dying, because that was a federal agent recklessly using power that ended up in somebody dying.
I haven't seen the latest propaganda video from DHS. I don't care to. I don't believe that it's going to make me mistrust the evidence that I have seen with my own eyes, that I have heard from the mouths of my just incredibly distressed and traumatized constituents who watched a masked federal agent execute someone in their street in the morning, during the morning commute.
Keep in mind, none of those people care about Renee Good. None of these people care about what actually happened. What they do very much care about is us, you and me, finding out that they've been stealing from us for years. We just got told we have some bad blood work, and this is me sitting here telling you the results of our next test are going to be worse. And the one after that, and the one after that, as we go from state to state, fraud ring to fraud wing, anywhere that's controlled by Democrats, it's going to get worse. And if you're not careful, you can get disheartened as we find out just how much has been stolen from us. Don't be disheartened. This is necessary. We have to go through this if we're going to treat the cancer. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. The wonderful Liz Collins is going to join us next, and she's going to discuss the latest and worst from Minnesota, because she's all over these things. Before Liz Collins joins us, speaking of stealing, how much do you pay a month for your cell phone? With inflation being what it is right now, everyone's trying to find a way to save a couple bucks, understandably. You know, the average family saves $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. The patriotic mobile company, not Verizon, not AT&T, not T-Mobile. You see, PureTalk never funded Black Lives Matter, unlike your mobile company. PureTalk is veteran-led, Vietnam veteran. PureTalk, my bill got cut in half. We switched from T-Mobile to PureTalk, directly in half. Make the switch. You'll feel better about paying your bill, not just because you're paying a company that shares your values, but you're paying less. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
There's no doubt as to the fault and the blame and the guilt, and that is the massive escalation of this administration against our state, the state of Minnesota, as they have done in Illinois, Portland, and Los Angeles. This massive escalation, telling these agents that Somali people are garbage, saying that Mexican Americans are rapists and drug dealers, saying all these hateful things, is the policy reason why Renee Good is dead. And I just want to be clear, there is a specific reason why she's dead, which is the decision that an officer made, but there is a general policy reason why she's dead, and that is because of this massive, unnecessary, uncoordinated, chaotic escalation. And it needs to stop, and it needs to stop right away.
That's pretty revealing for where we are, not because some brain-dead communist went on MS Now and spewed out things like that, but because that guy has a little position like Attorney General in the state of Minnesota, which really, that's probably not good. Joining me now, Liz Collins. We might as well just bring her in studio at this point in time, because apparently she's going to be here every week exposing all the crap going on in Minnesota. Liz, senior reporter, Alpha News, Liz Collins. Okay, Liz, what's the latest and worst from your state that is apparently all fraud?
Yeah, I seem to be here to highlight the worst of the worst, Jesse. Thanks for having me back. But over the weekend, I'll just bring your viewers up to speed. We saw about 30 people arrested. That was for property damage to downtown hotels in Minneapolis. They were blocking traffic as well. The shift again, though, I will say, is shifting to just that, fraud. You do have this battle back and forth, though, between federal and state officials. The state seems to want to take control of the Renee Good shooting investigation involving that ICE officer. The feds say, you know, hey, he's an ICE agent. This is our investigation. So we've had quite a bit about that. We are hearing some rumblings about Governor Tim Walz resigning. Nothing concrete, I will say. These were also rumors that happened months ago as well. We do expect another viral video. I'm sure it will go viral from Nick Shirley and David, the researcher that was highlighted in his video. He spoke on Friday. I was part of a panel where the Treasury Secretary was actually in town here highlighting many things they were doing to crack down on Somali fraud in Minnesota. And that is where David spoke at the panel to say this next video is going to be 10 times worse. He also said that it was a couple of years ago that he went to Governor Walz and said, when I fully expose you, you will resign. So those were his words that he highlighted as part of that panel. For the most part, though, we did not see the widespread rioting that we saw, obviously, here in Minneapolis, Jesse, 5 years ago related to George Floyd. The January weather certainly could be playing a part in that as well.
Yes, I do not miss January's up north. Liz, can you, before we get to Walz, can you elaborate a little bit more on the street demonstrations you said? You said they're damaging hotels. How many people are we talking about here? Did law enforcement crack down? Did they let the animals run wild? We all remember famously they just burnt down a police precinct in Minneapolis at one point in time. How was this handled? How many people are we talking about? Give me some sense of it on the ground, because I'm not traveling up there. It's too cold right now.
Don't blame you. But Friday, yeah, it was about 30 arrests Friday. I think that's when we saw more mass arrests take place. We have MPD at this point. That's the Minneapolis Police Department. They seemingly don't want to be involved in any of this at all. In fact, DNR officers, the Department of Natural Resources, those officers were brought in from all over the state to work as sort of a riot control, if you will, in the Twin Cities. And also that the State Patrol took part as well in rounding up people to arrest. In fact, we saw Minneapolis police on scene going back to their squad cars on Friday night as crowds were sort of shouting at them and chasing them, which looked to be that they were, you know, retreating and going back to their vehicles. I know that I've received many correspondence with cops on the street just saying how demoralizing this is to see this all in action again, to be, you know, having to stand down. But we did see many arrests on Friday. Saturday seemed to be more quiet. What I will say is quite telling is the organized effort to go after ICE officers. We've done some reporting on this over at Alpha News in the months leading up to all of this to try to help expose this for what it is. This is not an organic situation we're seeing unfold in Minneapolis. These are well-organized, well-funded groups in this area that are trained to go after ICE officers, trained to be honking their horns. We saw that as DHS released more video on Saturday of this very incident. Renee Good and her wife on scene for several minutes, honking their horn, blocking traffic. We saw that released on Saturday, and we're working to expose even more on these groups because they have stepped up their efforts, basically tracking the every move of ICE officers. And there's a lot of them here now, as President Trump has made Minnesota, you know, more of a area where he said that, you know, they're bringing more people in. We heard that from DHS that hundreds more would be headed here, and it does seem that many more are here at this point.
Liz, I know you said you're working on it. What do we know now? Do we know anything about who is doing the organizing, who is doing the funding? It's very clear that there are communist street groups here that have money. They have means. They're organized. Who's doing this?
Yeah, just from our past reporting and connecting with Renee Good, it seems she was a member of what's called ICE Watch, and you can go ahead and look these groups up themselves. They have Instagram pages. They're on X, but you can see there's actually a database. I was looking for myself, but you can see that they're reporting in real time where these ICE agents are. They're communicating with one another. They're pulling license plates whenever they can of ICE officers, it seems, and reporting that back to this group that, again, you know, I could access just as anybody else could online. We saw some basically sketches, I guess you could describe them as how to get up in officers' faces to record video of officers on the scene, what to be shouting at them, again, honking their horn. But this is all really laid out in black and white. They're calling it, you know, constitutional observers. They're conducting this training. We saw some more of these sessions this weekend, but one would argue that this is not, in fact, what you should be doing to any member of the law.
Liz, let's go back to Tim Walz. As you mentioned, I've been hearing the rumors, you're a lot more wired in than I am, that he's going to resign. Who knows whether or not that's true, but he is a governor, which would mean he probably has enough cutouts between him and whatever fraud has been going on to keep his hands clean, I would assume, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Do you think maybe he ends up dirty in all this?
You know, I'm still not sure how to answer that question, but I will say, Jesse, he was noticeably absent this weekend. The last press conference he held was Friday. He seems what I would say is a bit more unhinged. The last couple of press conferences that he gave last week, we did see him actually this morning. So Monday morning, he went with his wife to this memorial for Rene Goode in Minneapolis. He was seen there, but it did seem telling. He wasn't on any you know, national shows this weekend and was out of the spotlight. He was on X trying to tell crowds to stay peaceful this weekend. But we are, you know, just hearing again more from the federal government, and they're putting him right in the bullseye with a lot of this. And I think we're going to also have to see what is to come in this video that will be released, as again, this David, Nick Shirley's guy, they went in and described what they found as 10 times worse than the video that I think has been viewed like 500 million times or something along those lines, highlighting the Somali fraud in Minnesota.
Liz, I'm positive we'll talk again soon, so I don't even have to say that. I appreciate you very much. Come back. Who's going to be bad? 10 times worse? That's not good. All right. Iran. Maybe you don't care. I'm not huge on Iran. I would like to see people be free everywhere in the world, though, and it looks like these demonstrations there are huge. Are we about to see a regime toppled? Is everybody just going to have their fingernails pulled out? I don't know, but Lee Smith generally does know, so he's going to join us in a moment before we get to Lee Smith and talk to you about chips. I had a thing this weekend, right? Here was my thing. It was Sunday. And I had said that I was going to fast all day until dinner time. I do that from time to time. It's just, look, my body needs the detox, all right? But then Massa Chips got me. Look, it's not like I have to feel bad. There's no seed oils. They're chips you can eat guilt-free. It was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And someone left the pantry open, and I walked by and I looked in and I saw the lime ones. I love the lime ones, especially with some hot sauce on them. And I went in and I got some and I laid waste to the whole bag. All right, there, I said it. You want chips that are that good that you can eat guilt-free? Massachips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The leaders of Iran called, they want to negotiate. I think they're tired of being beat up by the United States. Iran wants to negotiate, yes.
Negotiate what?
We may meet with them. I mean, a meeting is being set up. But we may have to act because of what's happening before the meeting.
Right.
I think so. Don't you think so, CNN? Don't you think so? Wouldn't you say that they probably do at this point? After going through it for years with me, being hit, Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, the Iran nuclear threat wiped out, don't you think, and then you just had Venezuela, don't you think, she says, CNN, do you think they take your threat seriously? Wouldn't you say they do after all of the things we've done? What a stupid question.
He's not wrong. What is happening over there? I don't understand. It's an odd place. Joining me now, the wonderful Lee Smith. You should really read everything he writes. He has a book, The China Matrix. Honestly, just go ahead and pencil yourself in for everything Lee Smith writes. Lee, before we get to the China Matrix and other things, Iran, look, all I have is social media, Lee. I see a bunch of people in the streets. I see some girls lighting up pictures with their cigarettes. I now see body bags, but I don't trust anything I see on the internet anymore. Can you set the stage for us? What's happening on the ground? Why is it happening? Where is this going?
Well, I mean, you're right. First of all, it's hard to tell exactly what's happening on the ground. Some of the accounts on social media can be trusted, others can't. And as Donald Trump pointed out, CNN is probably at this point not a reputable relayer of international affairs. Look, the big thing that's happened here, that we know that there have been Iranians have taken to the streets many times over the last several decades, most memorably in 2009, and Barack Obama sort of turned his back on them, because what was important to Barack Obama was clinching the Iran nuclear deal. In other words, legalizing the nuclear weapons program of a terror state. And as Donald Trump pointed out in that clip that you showed, Jesse, the big difference is Donald Trump, who has shown his willingness to use force. And look, this is another reason why these protests are different, because the president of the United States is different. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Joe Biden. It's Donald Trump, right? So when Donald Trump is talking, they have to be very careful. The Iranians have to be careful because Trump has warned them. Most importantly, though, look, those attacks on the nuclear facilities, Iran's nuclear facilities in June, the joint U.S.-Israeli attacks, this really damaged, put a huge dent in the regime, because the nuclear weapons program has been the crown jewel of this regime for several decades, going back certainly to the 1990s. The fact that Trump obliterated it is a very big deal. So the regime lost prestige and power, not just internationally, but also domestically. So the big difference, the enormous variable that has to be taken into account right now, is that man right there on the other side of the screen, Donald J. Trump.
Okay, Lee, so the protests themselves, what's it about, right? I mean, there are things in politics here in America that make you mad, or probably make me mad, but they don't make average citizens mad enough to take it to the streets and risk having their fingernails pulled out in some Iranian dungeon. Why are these people in the streets? What are they upset about? Is it the price of bread? Is it the Islam thing? What is it?
Well, for some people, certainly, it's about, this started in the bazaars. It started with the merchant class, and they were losing a lot of money because the economy is very badly damaged. But students have another perception of how things are going. And look, there's a lot of people. I mean, Jesse, of course, you're right about the torture. They send dissidents famously to the notorious Evin prison, where people are mangled, their bodies and minds are mangled there. So this is a very big deal, that you're right, that people are risking their lives, not just their bodies, risking their lives to take it to go to the streets against this regime. But if we understand what's been going on there, it's a very dark regime. It's a very dark place, and I think that a lot of Iranian people want they want another life. I mean, you're right. We don't go out into the streets. We're not accustomed to going out in the streets to risk our lives for what we want. On the other hand, these people have had very, very dark lives for a very, very long time now, dating back to 1979. And all around the world, people do want to have some sort of, not just hope, they want some light in their lives. And that's a very big thing. And it's motivated a lot of very courageous people in Iran.
Lee, final question on Iran, so I want to move on to China.
Sure.
If we're going to have a regime change of any kind, maybe the people overthrow it, maybe we help, maybe we are helping, who knows, is there somebody we have in mind that will be ideal? Because we've seen regime change fail so many times because we replace one tyrant for another tyrant. What would we be looking at if this government left?
Well, I, you know, a lot of people talk about the Shah, and I think that's one of the son of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi. I personally think that's unlikely. I think what we'd wind up with is, I think it's something like the Soviet Union, where the, you know, where aside from the, you know, aside from maybe a few figures on the top, for the most part, you have the old regime, except they're greatly weakened. They're and they're dependent on a lot of outside help. But look, if we look at Venezuela as a model, what happened there? So the Trump administration removed the dictator, president for life, Nicolas Maduro, and now who's running the country? It's the vice president. I suspect in Iran, if Khamenei and the other top clerics and some of the top IRGC officials are removed from power, I imagine that what we'd see is we'd see other IRGC officials running that country. The IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, is deeply embedded in Iranian society. So I imagine they would wind up running that regime, except they're going to be on their best behavior because they will have seen Donald Trump removing people who have not been on their best behavior. So I think that's a likely option, and maybe for now that's the best option.
All right, Lee, China. China has an interest in Iran. China has an interest in Venezuela. China has interests in many parts of the globe right now. Are they losing? It feels like, maybe just because I'm a prisoner of recent news, it feels like they're losing ground. Are they?
No, Jesse, I'm glad you put it like this, because I think that's a very important way for your audience and for all Americans to look at the news, not just from abroad, but also, you know, we've looked at the success of Donald Trump's tariff regime. We saw that in October, the trade deficit is lower than it's been in 15 years, more than 15 years. So the tariff regime against China is having a great deal of success. And also, yes, Venezuela, Iran, all of these things, that's a way to understand what's happening. It's all part of what I call the China axis. It's very important. So when a lot of people talked about after Venezuela, well, it's just about our hemisphere, the Western hemisphere, that's not how Donald Trump sees it. Donald Trump sees it holistically. The major problem right now facing the United States, the major threat to our peace and prosperity, is the Chinese Communist Party. So all of these things are helping to weaken the Chinese. And Iran's a very, very big deal, because China's ally there, Iran, remember, they're right in the Persian Gulf on the Straits of Hormuz, and so much of the world's energy passes through that. The idea that the Chinese would have a foothold in the Persian Gulf is very bad for the United States. And it's the Chinese above any other power, whether that's Russia, Iran, Venezuela, terror groups, Qatar, whatever it is. Those are the people, the Chinese leadership, that's who wants to see the United States weakened in that vitally important part of the world.
He wrote a book. He's written a bunch of them. The China Matrix, if you want to understand much more about our, by far, our most powerful geopolitical enemy. Lee, as always, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much. All right. Now, I don't eat great. That's not exactly news to anybody. You know, I like Kraft Mac. I like Totino's Pizza. But I'm 44, and sometimes my stomach doesn't handle it like it used to. And that's where Cowboy Colostrum comes in. This was last summer, actually. My sister told me about Cowboy Colostrum. Oh, it's great for your gut, great for your gut. I'd never even heard of colostrum. Okay, all right, I'll try it. Man, stuff's amazing. I put it in my coffee every morning. That's how I take it. I have the chocolate. They have strawberry and vanilla and everything, but I have the chocolate. A couple scoops of my coffee every single morning. It's delicious. It's just like you're having chocolate coffee. But wow, what a difference. What a difference. I don't even have a heartburn anymore, ever. Never. Want to try it? Try it, and it'll be your new morning routine. CowboyColostrum.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
On Friday, the Department of Justice served the Federal Reserve with grand jury subpoenas, threatening a criminal indictment related to my testimony before the Senate Banking Committee last June. That testimony concerned, in part, a multi-year project to renovate historic Federal Reserve office buildings. I have deep respect for the rule of law and for accountability in our democracy. No one, certainly not the chair of the Federal Reserve, is above the law. The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public, rather than following the preferences of the president. This is about whether the Fed will be able to continue to set interest rates based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation. Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats. I will continue to do the job the Senate confirmed me to do.
It's important to have a bottle of water handy whenever you're talking on camera, I should note, especially if you tend to get nervous. Otherwise, you have that really dry mouth swallowing thing you just saw there, and it looks just terrible. Joining me now, Carol Roth. I bet she doesn't have dry mouth right now because she's used to all this. Two times New York Times bestselling author and recovering former investment banker. All right, Carol, I'm sure you have a bottle of water handy, but that aside, what did I just watch? A hostage video?
It is so bizarre, this entire situation, and it is completely unusual for the Fed to come out and put out a video on an unscheduled basis, especially on something like this. So lots of very strange things happening in addition to the obvious dry mouth, which I don't think serves the purpose here very well. Now, the Fed, Jesse, is an awful entity. And so I hate to say anything that, you know, might be okay about the Fed, but, you know, I like to call balls and strikes. So I'm going to talk about what's going on. The Fed is doing a renovation that Congress talked to the Fed about and to Jerome Powell about, which is some ridiculous amount of money. It's like $3 billion. You could have built, you know, multiple football stadiums for the amount that it's costing for a renovation. And we can all say that it is incredibly awful and out of touch, especially at a time when Americans are struggling to get by with their day-to-day needs. And that in part was brought about by government and Fed policy. What I don't think that most people understand is how the Fed is funded. So technically, it is a self-financing organization. It is overseen by Congress, but Congress doesn't give them taxpayer money to fund the Fed directly. Basically, the Fed has assets on its balance sheet, mostly treasury bills, sometimes mortgage-backed securities that it's gone. It's created money out of nowhere and put those on its balance sheet, and it receives interest payments on that, as well as some servicing fees for banks. Then it has all of its operations. It subtracts from that. It pays out interest when it holds reserves for banks. It pays them interest. So they kind of net everything out. And in like recent history, if there was a surplus, they would give that back to the Treasury. So there is technically a flow of funds that could go and help us to pay down debt. But since about September of 2022, they have been running at a loss because of the interest rate hikes. And now all of a sudden their operating costs are too high. So you could say maybe there's an impact here because now the operating costs are higher and it's going to take a longer time for them to remit anything to the Treasury to help us pay down debt. But the reality is 99.9% of Americans have no idea how any of this works. And so what they're concerned about is they think that this is coming out of taxpayer dollars, and it's not. Just like the Trump ballroom, right? They're doing renovation. It's from a private entity. Is there probably some kind of shenanigans that are going out and somebody's benefiting from it? Probably, but it's not coming out of our tax dollars.
Okay. All right. So it's not our money. Let's focus on what we know about the renovation. As you pointed out, $3 billion, that'll build you a whole lot of really fancy stuff. But when it comes to any government or quasi-government organization, we always have to play the game. Is this incompetence or is this fraud? What do we know so far? What do we think about what we're looking at, Carol?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it could easily be a little bit of both. But again, you know, it's only maybe technically indirectly impacting what's going on in, you know, with taxpayers. It's not coming out of our dollars. It's just, you know, stupid. And if you think about all of the, you know, potentially like almost $750 billion a year worth of waste, fraud, and abuse that's going on in the government at all levels, federal, state, and local, that we do know know about. It seems to me that we should be focused on that. And by the way, if you were going to get in on the Fed for something, that it's been, you know, at least figuratively criminal the way that they have absolutely killed the cost of housing and affordability in the U.S. and enabled the government to do all of this bad spending. So I think there are a lot of things that we can go after the Fed for, and perhaps that is the 4D chess here. Maybe this inquiry, this idea that there was some lying to Congress, is meant to, you know, be the avenue to, you know, force an audit or to get other information. That might make sense, but it's coming off as very political, and that's not a great thing, even though we know it is a political organization. The veneer, the pretending, the illusion that it's really independent, it seems to be very important to the markets.
Donald Trump said this about credit cards and interest rates, and I thought it would be entertaining to get your take on it. Here he was.
I want a cap on credit card interest rates because, you know, some of them are 28, almost 30%. And that people don't know they're paying 30%. The people out there, you know, they're working, and they have no idea that they're paying 30%. No way. We're putting a one-year cap at 10%. That's it. They know it. They've really abused the public. The credit card companies have totally abused it. I'm not going to let it happen.
Hi. Carol, I'm just going to give you the floor so I don't get upset.
I feel like we should be calling this the segment Sophie's Choice, because you keep making me have to defend things that are really bad at their core, but for the wrong reason. So this is there's no good outcome here. Folks, we have to stop cheering on Trump when he puts forth Bernie Sanders and AOC mandates. This is an idea that came from AOC capping credit card rates. It's a price control. And it's funny because when she does it or Bernie Sanders does it, everyone says, go home, commie. And then when President Trump does these things, everyone's like, oh, that's such a great idea. Now, we can all agree credit cards are terrible. The 30% is absolutely outrageous. I mean, this is something that nobody should ever use. But that's a personal decision that you need to make. You should not be using a credit card for spending ever. You use it as a convenience to pay it off in full each month, but you should not be paying any interest on credit cards because you should be paying down that balance. But that doesn't mean that we should have legislation. And what price controls do, even if they come in a soft form like interest rate caps, it means that fewer people are going to have access to credit. It means there are going to be higher fees for getting credit cards. It means that people who are now paying 30% are now going to pay 70% to Big Vito and Little Vito. And if you don't like the terms at 30%, you're really not going to like the terms that Big Vito gives you if you don't pay it back. So there are consequences to our actions, and we have to stop cheering on bad economic ideas just because somebody that you like proposes them.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for saying it so I didn't have to get upset. Just please listen to Carol. All right, Carol, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Please pay off your credit cards every month. If you cannot, don't use your credit cards. 30% is terrible. It's criminal. It's bad. I hate it. It's terrible. You know that the credit card companies, they'd go out of business without stupid people paying them 30% in interest every freaking month. Don't pay interest for your credit card. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. I know that sucks sometimes because you want to do this and you want to get that and Christmas. I get it. Don't pay 30% in interest on anything ever, ever, for under any circumstances. All right. We have light in the mood. I'm fine. We have light in the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And it was not that long ago where the country was run by communists and the chaplains in the military were, you know, supposed to be Muslim clerics and things like that. Now things are changing and wonderful things are happening right now.
This is a field baptism, guys. It's going to be cold. Hey, thank you. All right. And I'm going to give you a chance to speak after, okay? Specialist Silva. By your profession of faith and your belief in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, being buried in the likeness of his death, being raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to new life in Christ Jesus. Give me a hand, guys. Woo!
Silva!
And the angels rejoiced. I'll see you tomorrow.